Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Haunted Tales, your weekly dose of horror. We've got everything, from ghosts, cryptids, and curses, to deals with the devil, giant insects, and more. Sit back and enjoy this week's story after a little message from our friends.
Jesus, it fucking stinks in here.
Henry could hear the young man by his side whisper and couldn't help but smile.
What did you expect? Roses?
He wanted to laugh at the newbie, but the whiff of a low breeze just blew past his nose and almost made him retch as well. Looking around, there was no shortage of possible origins. This place beneath an overpass was hell. Heaps of trash were towering over the small tents people had erected here, where they could find at least a tiny bit of shelter from the rough winds and rain. That, and most police didn't bother coming here to harass them, as long as they stayed out of sight. Henry could feel the people watching them. It didn't surprise him. Tony and he stood out like a sore thumb. Their clean coats were blowing in the wind like giant flags, yet not a single person had tried talking to them or dared to beg for money. It wasn't the guns they were carrying partly concealed, not even their gazes, no. The people who were still here had seen something. Survived these past nights while this thing had taken some of them. Dragged them off.
Well, at least I think we're in the right place.
He heard Tony whisper again and nodded. Yeah. The atmosphere here felt completely wrong. He could almost smell their fear.
I don't think anyone will help us this time.
Henry mused, as he turned slowly to take a look around the camp beneath the overpass. He could immediately see three small makeshift tents that stood empty. The question was if the owners had run away, were just out right now, or had been some of the unlucky victims of whatever had settled here. Two of the three were close to the camp's side, where a trash-littered slope led into the stinking river and its grey water.
Let's try it anyway,
Henry heard his young colleague saying, and could see the man actively trying to breathe through his mouth as he took another step toward the camp. He chuckled, then followed. It was good to see his partner already trying to take charge. They had been on three missions so far, and Tony seemed to get into the groove already.
Head to the left,
he whispered, pointed at the outermost tent, which seemed completely abandoned, and could see the young man changing course immediately. The strange thing was, the closer they got to the tents, the less they stank. The rotten odor permeating the air further outside the overpass seemed to stay back, almost avoiding the place here completely. Henry made a mental note of it, let one hand slowly creep beneath his jacket, touching the holster to his gun. It wasn't like he was really expecting anything to happen, but he could feel the stares of the people living here growing colder the closer they got. His colleague didn't seem to notice. With his hands deep inside the pockets of his coat, he strutted along, looking almost like some kind of police officer or detective, which set Henry's mind even more on edge. The people here wouldn't like it. He couldn't even begin to imagine what they would do if they thought they had come here to harass them further. They had already been pushed out of the city, and from the look of it, quite a few of them didn't have much left to lose anymore. Henry shivered, looked around and could feel the atmosphere growing colder once again as his partner reached the empty tent. Well, tent might be the wrong word. Someone had taken some tarpaulin, nailed it to the ground with what looked like different pieces of metal, then put a strut into its middle to make it tent-shaped. You could see some blanket in there, stiff from dirt. Tony knelt down to take a closer look, while Henry now started to openly watch the rest of the camp, making sure none of the other people could get the drop on them.
"Found quite a bit of crumpled up newspaper,"
he heard his colleague whispering as he started to poke and prod at the stuff inside. They didn't even get another second before Henry could see movement between the other tents, and the wind carried whispers to him.
"Get the fuck away from my stuff,"
a voice cut through the murmurs, as suddenly a figure emerged from between the other tents and started running full speed toward them. Henry automatically grabbed his colleague's collar, pulling him back while he watched a man coming at them closely. The hair on top of his head was unkempt and dirty, yet he had shaved off his beard in the last few days. His dark blue jacket seemed at least two sizes too big, while the shirt beneath looked a bit too small. There were brown spots on his knees, stemming from the muddy ground around here, yet his shoes looked almost completely clean. But the worst thing was the man's eyes. They burned with this strange, manic energy.
"Don't take what's not yours, you pieces of shit,"
the man bellowed. Henry could feel the tension inside himself lessening. The man was still a few steps away, but what was far more important was that no other person had started moving closer. If the rest had formed the mob, things would have turned ugly fast, but having only one single guy coming at them meant they could talk it out. He pulled his colleague back to his feet and made a show of taking his other hand off the gun before raising it in a placating manner.
"We don't intend to steal,"
he gave back, tried smiling at the still angry guy with the wild eyes.
"There's been a report about people going missing here, and we came to help."
He made sure to speak as loudly as possible, so the rest of the people in this camp could hear him as well. Their gazers followed every single one of his movements, but he could see the one coming at them already slowing down his steps. The aggressive posturing was nothing more than a facade. Henry could see his colleague straightening his coat out in the corner of his eyes, and had to stop himself from smiling.
"Who the fuck asked you to come and help, huh?"
The angry man stopped short of them, staying just out of their reach as he tried to stare him down. Henry sighed. The man didn't look like he wanted a fight, yet there was no doubt that he wouldn't help them much either.
"Go fuck yourself, that's who,"
he heard his colleague shoot back, and grabbed his shoulder to keep the situation from escalating. This was going nowhere. Pushing his young partner back, he turned his body so he could ignore the angry man and face the rest of the camp.
"People have gone missing here. We know of at least five,"
he started, while looking out for anyone reacting to his words strangely, then got interrupted by the angry man.
"They walked off. Happens all the time here."
Henry ignored him completely. People were standing further back now, openly listening to him.
"Something bad is happening here, and we've come to help. My colleague and I will be walking around the area. If there is anything you want to say, you can come to us whenever you like."
He could see Tony and the angry man both shooting him a dirty look, but simply turned around, grabbing his colleague as he headed back out of the camp. Murmur started behind him as soon as he wasn't facing them anymore. He could hear the angry guy grumbling and was happy that for once his partner kept his mouth shut until they were out of earshot. The stiff breeze returned as soon as they had taken a few steps, carrying with it a rotten smell that seemed out of this world.
Why are we leaving? There was something in the tent. I know it.
Henry heard his colleague whispering once he was sure others couldn't listen in on their conversation anymore. He shook his head and answered.
I didn't like the mood. With a guy coming at us. If we had continued, it would have ended in a fight. We're not here to kill some poor souls, Tony.
They reached a dirt road running past the camp beneath the overpass, turned, and started walking along it.
Did you see the tracks?
His young colleague nodded immediately. Even though he didn't have much experience, he was a quick learner, Henry had to admit.
Something heavy was dragged through the camp, far heavier than the tents and stuff lying around. There was one coming from the tent. That's why I wanted you to take a closer look.
Henry patted his back in a congratulatory manner while keeping his eyes on the dirt path ahead. They had been warned before coming here. The seers had called it a disruption. Something inhuman was around here, so at least they knew it couldn't just be some sicko killing homeless people. There were no claw marks, no strange electricity in the air, and no overt signs of madness in the people inside the camp. Those seers their company was working with hardly ever gave them more than a clue, so they had to investigate for themselves. And Henry's instincts had told him that the guy coming at them had blood on his hands already. He had called it his stuff, even though the tent at the edge of the camp had definitely been abandoned for at least a day. If he was dangerous, people would only talk to them when he wasn't around.
I hope you're prepared for the cold. We're going to be walking around here for the next few hours until it calms down. All right?
His partner didn't even grumble. Just drew his coat closer as they began to slowly move around the encampment, each caught up in their own thoughts. Every time they drew closer to the water, the stench got worse and worse. Henry tried to make sense of what they had witnessed up to now. Physical marks on the ground and no kind of feeling of static in the air meant it probably wasn't a spirit. He cursed in his thoughts. Some people could feel those things clearly, yet he wasn't one of them. All he had going for him was his instincts and experience. No claws, so at least whatever was here shouldn't be beast-like. The people hadn't seemed too frightened, so no monster living in fear. It had to be the water. He concluded and tried to think about what kind of beings he knew that lived in rivers. There were far too many. Everything from Kelpies to Monongi. He couldn't even start narrowing down the list without another clue. Henry's head shot up suddenly as movement caught his eye just a few steps ahead of them. In one of the thickets growing along the dirt embankments around the massive struts of the freeway. Dark green spotted fabric shifted as a person stood up and Henry just about managed to not grab hold of his gun as he saw an arm appearing and waving them closer. He looked around once more, back at the camp, and could see no movement there. Good. No one else was watching them. This had been his plan all along, but he hadn't thought someone would ambush them to have a talk. Tony was at his side, one hand beneath the coat as they stepped closer, and soon could see the face of a woman staring out from between the twigs and leaves.
"It's dangerous."
A low, whispering female voice reached his ears, while her hand still tried to hurry them up even further.
"You said you wanted to help? Then help."
Henry gave his colleague a slight push until the man stood at an angle to the shrub, blocking the view of the camp completely, while he bent down to get to eye level with the woman.
"Yes, we do. Tell me what's happening here."
He could see the woman looking around conspiratorially, and for a moment he wondered if she would really tell him something of worth. Or if this was going to be nothing more than a drug-induced hallucination.
"I've seen him,"
she hissed, "walking through the camp at night, dragging people out. He doesn't make a sound, but I can see him still." Henry could feel his colleague shooting him a look and try to keep his expression as calm as possible.
"Seen who? What does it look like?"
"Kieran, the one you talked to by the tent. At night, when all the people are sleeping, he walks around out there. Goes down to the water and only then talks. He whispers, begs. Sounds like lovey-dovey stuff to me."
The hairs on the nape of Henry's neck were standing up. But that guy was human. He was sure of that. Almost certain. No. Having monsters living among humans was normal, yes. But they wouldn't draw attention to themselves, especially in front of an intruder. Something wasn't adding up at all.
"Where is he now?"
Henry asked in an even lower tone.
"In the camp, walking around, talking to everyone about how dangerous you guys are. That you're police or worse."
Of course he was. Either this guy, Duran, was a monster, or he was somehow involved with one.
"Should we go in?"
Henry heard his colleague ask, but immediately shook his head. Going into the camp now would only lead to a fight. People would die. Innocent people.
"You said at night he walks around, right?"
he asked a woman still hiding in the thicket and could see her nodding her head. Slowly standing up, he turned to look at his colleague. Without another word spoken, they both left and walked back to their car. It was dark outside as they slowly slid down the embankment. This time, they had chosen a different route to the camp, one where no one could see their car approaching. The coats had been swapped out for darker clothing, and now they both were carrying their guns openly. Henry had spent the past few hours deep in research while his partner had taken care of their equipment. Cleaning the weapons, installing the winch, polishing the thick metal cable they now carried with them, before covering it in some grime to take away any kind of reflection. Henry didn't like the plan he had come up with, but the way the strange woman had talked to them had given him a rough idea of what they were dealing with. If his instinct was right, there was something in the waters close to the camp, conversing with at least one of the people living here. Making him do stuff. Bad things. He could feel Tony looking at him from time to time. The way the young guy carried himself still gave him the creeps. Once the action was about to start, he seemed to grow calm, the complete opposite of himself.
Old thoughts resurfaced. What if he was wrong? He had messed up before and had brought unnecessary danger to himself and the people he had worked with. A hand touched his shoulder and made him stop.
What's that thing called again?
It was Tony asking, and even though Henry knew that his colleague was just humoring him, helping him to calm down, he rolled his eyes before answering.
A Roshalka. It used to be human, but either jumped into the river or was drowned here, and now it can't let go. Those things normally lure people into the water to drown them as well, dragging them down and entangling their feet.
The man walking next to him was still smiling softly.
Seems to me that it doesn't really fit what we've heard, right?
Henry had to admit that it was true, yet somehow his experience and instinct still told him that he was on the right path. Everything from the stench to the atmosphere fit perfectly, yet it still bothered him. Tony, on the other hand, seemed completely fine, going in there half blind. The man hadn't uttered a single word of protest yet, no matter how ludicrous Henry's plans had been.
Thanks, by the way,
he muttered and felt his younger colleague's hand on his shoulder once more. Only this time, it stayed there, pulled him back as he tried to take another step, then pushed him down softly. They had reached the top of the embankment above the river and could see the camp now, some small lights still glowing in the nightly darkness, while the rest of their surroundings seemed steeped in silence.
Someone is down there,
he heard Tony whisper, looked along the river's edge and suddenly could see what his colleague meant. There was a shadow down by the river, a man sitting there, unmoving. Turan, the angry man who had accosted them. It was impossible to see his face, but the way he held himself was definitely the same as before. Henry softly pulled his colleague's hand from his shoulder. They needed to get closer without the man noticing, and right now, while clouds moved in front of the moon above, was their best chance to do so. He listened intently as he started to sneak down the embankment, keeping his body as low as possible, while his heart began to race. He couldn't hear anything moving behind him, neither the other guy's footsteps, nor the cable being dragged out of the winch. They both had a remote with them, ready to wind it at a second's notice. Now, he just had to hope that down there was something that could be caught at all. Henry's shoe slid over the dust-covered ground as he came closer and closer to the edge of the river. The man they were heading for was still at least 20 paces away, but now he started to see him more clearly. He was sitting there, close to the water, his head in his hands as if he were mourning or waiting for someone. The sky seemed completely oblivious to his surroundings. Henry stopped suddenly, before he could take another step, as a new sound snuck into the rushing of the water below, and he could see a shift in the waiting man's posture. A wave of rotten stench washed over him, and Henry had to put his arm up to cover both mouth and nose to keep himself from retching. The low light of the moon falling onto the water's surface got dispersed next to the river's edge, right below the waiting man, and for the first time this night, Henry could see his face. He was smiling brightly as something dark slowly rose up through the surface. Henry couldn't help but shiver. The gun in his hand felt heavier than before,
as he watched long, wet hair coming up, then deathly pale skin shimmering in the moonlight. Its head and face were covered by the dark, long hair, but Henry could clearly see arms extending toward the man who had gone from sitting to now kneeling by the river. Another, even stronger wave of that disgusting stench hit him and almost took away his breath. This thing was about to pull in its next victim. A part of his mind screamed at him, yet his body stayed frozen in place. His instinct and his experience told him that something was off again. The white, dripping hands rose up further and touched the scraggly man's cheeks as their faces came closer to each other, and Henry could hear his colleague trying to hide a gagging noise. It was a Roshalka. There was no doubt about it. Yet somehow, it felt completely off. Normally, one would expect a thing to pull in its victim, but the one he was watching now only stroked the other's cheek, like a lover would. Tony's hand touched him again, stayed right next to his face, and pointed towards something close to the man they were both watching. Henry could feel his heart sinking as he realized what his colleague was pointing out right now. Next to the guy was something on the ground. Something covered by trash bags, moving in the rhythm of a human breathing. The guy was feeding the Roshalka. He wasn't a victim, but some kind of henchman of this thing. Just as he had this thought, Henry could see the two finally breaking their embrace, and then a man turning toward the trash bag on the ground. Another sacrifice. Henry put a hand behind himself, grabbed the looped metal cable, and stood up. A hiss filled the air the moment the thing realized that he was there and turned toward him. He could hardly see the Roshalka, now standing in the water up to her hips, her dark hair covering most of her face and body. But the feeling hitting him as their eyes met still made his legs tremble. Standing up and letting the monster see him was dumb, but he didn't have much of a choice. Whoever was in that trash bag over there would have been thrown into the river in a few seconds. Time seemed to stop as the man now looked over his shoulder and at him as well. Henry grasped the cable tightly behind his back. Roshalka were hard to kill. You needed to get them out of the body of water they had died in to stop them. Otherwise, they would simply disappear, then reappear the next night.
Come.
Henry heard himself whisper, and that single word was enough to make the monster move. He could hardly follow it with his eyes, only saw a black streak suddenly rushing through the water, up the river and toward himself, as he stepped down and onto damp earth. This was gonna hurt, he told himself. Tried to brace for the impact and hoped that Tony wouldn't do anything stupid while he let his gun drop to the ground and grabbed hold of the remote in his pocket. The thing reached him a split second later, ripped him from his feet and pulled him into the water while the man with the trash bag screamed out in anger. Henry felt as if he was weightless for a moment. The world around him seemed to turn black. Something cold and wet touched his leg just before his body hit the water's surface and strong fingers pulled him into the dark abyss of the stinking river. His right hand was still grasping the cable in his back while his left tried to find and grab whatever was pulling at him. But the speed at which this thing moved completely disoriented him. Once or twice, he could feel it at the tips of his fingers. Skin that seemed like oil, slipping out of his grasp with ease, while the rushing cold water pushed past his ears. The cable he was holding onto was still unwinding, should give him enough time to get dragged down to the bottom of the river, he told himself, and suddenly got slammed into something hard and rough. Henry groaned as the thing dragged him along the ground, could feel sharp rocks cutting into his skin, and heard this high-pitched squeal coming from the monster still holding him by his leg. The water around him was completely dark, ice cold, and he couldn't even see the surface from here. But Henry knew that it couldn't be long anymore. Those things didn't like to travel far from the place where they stowed their victims. Another rock hit his shoulder and almost made him drop the cable, but he held on as if his life depended on it. Which it did, he reminded himself, as suddenly the movement stopped and he felt his body lifting a tiny bit off the rough ground below. Something new was touching his ankles, almost cutting into his flesh, it felt like. A slippery hand stroked his face and chest. This was his chance, Henry screamed in his mind, pulled his arms up and grabbed hold of the thing. Its flesh was slippery and slid out of his grasp with ease again as it laughed right into his ear. Shit, Henry thought. Blindly, he fumbled around, felt hair, thin and oily, slithering over his skin. Fingers long and cold, poking and prodding his side. He needed to grab hold of it, to get the cable around some part of its body. The hair binding his legs would give way if only he could get this thing out of the water. A hand grabbed hold of his wrist and squeezed it with unimaginable strength. Pain flared up and shot into his arm as he screamed underwater and almost let go of the cable. It knew what he wanted to do, he realized. This thing wasn't dumb. Henry panicked, put his own hand into the sling at the end of the cable, and tried to get the remote out of his pocket to at least pull himself up. But more fingers grabbed hold of his other arm and stopped him from moving. It chuckled again, and Henry could feel his body starting to tremble. Foul-tasting water had made it into his mouth already. The darkness around him seemed to turn into an abyss. Far away, he could hear a voice, garbled and quiet, covered up by the sounds of rushing water. Yet the thing in front of him suddenly stopped moving and giggling. A flash of light illuminated the river, followed by a bang, loud and ominous. For a split second, he could see this thing. It looked stunning. Floating in the water, staring right at him. A woman, young and beautiful, was holding onto his arms, but her expression changed from joy to fear. Henry thought he could feel it as well. Her movements became quicker again. She let go of his hand and grabbed him by the chest as she shot upward, pulling him along toward the surface. Day broke through in a matter of seconds, her hand still clasping him as she faced the edge of the river, where Henry could see his colleague standing next to a kneeling man shivering on the ground. Tony screamed and waved his gun around before pointing it at his hostage. It wouldn't work, Henry wanted to say. But dirty river water was streaming out of him, gushing forth as he spat mouthful after mouthful of the liquid back into the dark river. Those things didn't feel anything towards humans, but hunger. It wouldn't negotiate. Yet it stood there, held him up above the water surface as Tony continued to scream words he couldn't understand. Why was it hesitating? He could feel it shivering, could see its other hand outstretched toward the bank. It didn't matter. Another chance had come. Henry could feel his body moving quickly, the hand with the cable shooting up, putting the noose around the thing's neck, while his other hand finally found the remote. A high-pitched whir cut into his colleague's words, followed by an inhuman scream as the winch pulled the cable taut, now ripping the monster from its feet. Henry held onto it and could see its hands trying to grab the metal rope and free itself. But this time, he was the one who stopped her from moving. Together, they tumbled and fell onto the embankment as the winch pulled them up and out of the river. While screaming, crying, the monster thrashed and turned, but its eyes only focused on one thing. The man kneeling beside Tony. Henry closed his eyes, pushed and pulled at the thing's arms as the ground they were now being dragged over turned from wet earth to dry dust and vegetation. It howled, cried out, and one last time looked to the human before its mouth opened in an eternal scream and then finally fell silent. Henry hardly remembered what had happened next. He knew Tony had helped him up and put him into the passenger seat of the car, while he took care of the rest, cleaning up and getting the remains. He had watched him drag something in a trash bag up the embankment and put it into the trunk, and since then, the car had stank just like the river. They had managed to get their target. Henry tried to tell himself, but felt no kind of joy. It was bothering him still. Not just that he had almost died, but the reaction of this monster. The door on the driver's side opened and pulled him from his thoughts. He looked over and could see Tony climbing into the car now as well.
All done, boss. You look like shit, by the way.
Henry simply smirked, then growled. He was cold and wet, had bruised ribs and cuts all over. Of course he looked like shit. Felt like it as well. Getting out of there alive had been pure luck. The other guy simply smiled as he started the engine and shot him one last glance as the car began to roll.
Next time you want to go on a fishing trip, maybe don't use yourself as bait.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this week's story. If you did, please consider supporting us on buymeacoffee.com/hauntedtalespod. If you have anything to share with us, be it comments, story ideas you would like to hear, or just cute pictures of your pet, you can find all of our social media links in the episode descriptions. Until next time.